Welcome back to Real Talk About Feminism. We are talking about purity culture again, you guys. It was a big hit the first time, and we have some more things we want to share, so.
Yes, it's a topic that will never leave our lives.
Nope, we're traumatized forever.
So here we are again with a part two for you.
Yeah. I'm excited, because I kind of pulled in some things that are slightly shocking when you, like, actually read it as someone who, like, doesn't believe in purity culture. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we'll get into it. I'm excited. We don't have much going on, but we're both going to talk about books that we've been listening to. So it's this book called Just Go With It. And I'm so mad because the library freaking returned it for me automatically, and I literally had an hour left of it. I was almost done. So I have to wait 2 weeks until I finish it. But it's so good. I love it. It's like a really cute, like, friends to lovers. And I know you would love it.
I'm going to make sure it's on my Goodreads because you know I love friends to lovers.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And this is, like, all on the back cover, so it's not spoiling anything. But it's about this girl who she has a chronic illness. And I, like, randomly stumbled upon that. But I was like, wait, why is this me? So I just like it because I feel like I can relate to her. So
I love books like that.
I know. So, and, like, literally I was telling you this, but, like, I'm very new in my reading journey and I don't really read fantasy. And so I was, like, listening to it and there were parts I was literally like, like, mouth open, like, oh my gosh. And so it was fun. I liked it. I might read more fantasy now.
Yes. Is it fantasy?
Okay, sorry, not fantasy, romance, but like, fake, you know.
Fiction,
yeah. In my mind, from when I was, like, the time I learned what the words fiction and nonfiction meant, the only way I could remember it was nonfiction means not fake, and, right?
Right.
And I'm like, please, and fiction means fake, and so I'm always like, I like to read not fake books, nonfiction.
You like nonfiction.
Oh, wait, no, I don't.
I'm getting so lost here.
I don't know. Just
do you like fiction or do you like nonfiction? Nonfiction would be like.
Yes, I like nonfiction. Not fake. Real.
Okay. Okay. Right? So you do like not. You do.
Yes.
You like self-help.
Yeah.
You like memoirs. I realize I really like memoirs.
Memoirs. I love memoirs.
I really like them. So I'm reading. Do you have anything else you want to say?
Other than I put Britney Spears memoir on
hold. I was just gonna say that. Yeah. So right now I'm reading Page Boy, or I'm listening to Page Boy.
I read the first three chapters of Page Boy.
Why didn't you finish?
Because it was Quinn's book and it was just at the house.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I want to listen after you.
Yeah, it's just sad. But it also makes me, I love reading memoirs because it makes me see new perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I really like Jeanette McCurdy's memoir. I want to read Britney Spears, so let me know how it is.
Okay, well, yeah, I put it on hold, like, immediately. When I saw that she had pre-released it, I put it on hold.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and also He, She, They.
Yes.
By Skylar Bailey.
I need to read that.
I also have that one on hold. Oh, Baylor, sorry. Yeah, okay, I love that. Something about Page Boy, and this isn't a spoiler, but I really appreciated how his journey goes back so far, and it really just proves to people who are like, oh, being trans is just a trend, and like you see all of the, like, from when he was so young, mm-hmm. and in Hollywood, mm-hmm. and was, like, having those feelings, like, that's truly who he is, you know? And so, like, it's just really interesting. I actually really want to finish that.
You should. It's interesting to listen to because it's his voice, right? And so you're really getting how he truly felt.
The
and
emotion.
I'm just like, I can't imagine how hard that would be. Because
mm-hmm.
he's talking about, like, trying to figure out life in general with this. Mm-hmm. And also, like, figuring out your sexuality. Because, like, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so hard.
Yeah.
But it is really good. I also listened to his episode with Jay Shetty. Because he went on Jay Shetty's podcast. Oh. So I recommend listening to that episode, too.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, once I can get my reading list down, because I'm, like, kind of backed up.
Literally.
And I'm understanding the stress of it now. But once I get my reading list down, then I'm going to listen to that. Because, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I read, like, the first three or four chapters. And I was very into it because it's just very interesting to learn people's stories that have completely different experiences from us. Mm-hmm. Like, I will never know what it's like to transition because I'm not transgender, but it just, it like really helps you understand it as much as you could, you know?
It does.
So.
And it's just so sad. You're like seeing, because I, when they mention like pictures or red carpet events and stuff, I Google it. Yeah. And I'm like, you would never know.
No.
That this was going on.
I know. I did the same thing. I Googled and I was like, because it was, what was the big movie?
Juno.
Juno. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I was looking that up and I was like, oh my gosh.
You just would never know.
No. So.
So definitely listen. I am also on the fourth book of ACOTAR series, and it's that, it's the mini one right before like the 700 page final book.
Whoa.
But I definitely know what you're talking about with the book stress because I have a queue and I'm like, I need to finish these because most of the books that I have right now, I've borrowed from people and they haven't said anything about like, hey, I need it back. But like, it's old coworkers that I haven't talked to in like months. Oh. And I'm like, I really need to get this to them.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's also like one of my goals is to read before bed every night because sometimes I do, or I'll just watch a movie and then I never read and I'm like, hey.
Yeah. So this is really like this book talk is making me really excited about the idea we've been throwing around of having a book club.
Yes, guys, we want to have a book club.
And people have said they're interested.
Yes, you guys have said that you're interested in this. And it would be very low maintenance, like just throwing that out there. It's preliminary, but we want to host a book club where we, not all books would be like feminist topics, but most of them would be, or it would be memoirs, like Pageboy, for example. That's a great book club book. Mm-hmm.
Or we, and we can also do like, let's all take a vote, like out of these three. And
we're a democracy.
we're a democracy. And we were talking about having meetings like what? Like a Zoom meeting like
every
once,
quarter.
Yeah, like once a quarter, we talk about the book and maybe we like make a little fun drinks or something and we all like sip our drinks. I don't know, but I just think that would be so fun. So let's get that started and let's send out info.
Yeah, we'll do another poll just to see like who's interested again. Mm-hmm. And if you want to start sending in book suggestions, you can use that Google form that we have linked in the show notes. So you can send us suggestions or like things that you would want out of a book club.
Yeah. And then we will work really hard to get things together. Maybe we can start it in January. And then so we'll put everything out for signups and how to access the meetings and everything. But I'm excited.
Yes. I think
that'll be so fun.
I'm so excited about this.
Me too. Okay. We're going to get everything out there for you guys. But if you have suggestions or any ideas or anything, put them in that Google form that's in the show notes.
Yes, for sure. Well, let's get into the feminist highlight. Today's feminist highlight is actually a company, and it's a company called Mawada. The founders of Mawada are Yasmin Samatar and Farali Adam. Both Yasmin and Farali are first-generation Black Muslim women, and they're respiratory therapists who have had many years of experience in hospitals across the country, including on the front lines of the pandemic.
Wow.
They have experienced firsthand the frustration, worry, and loss of productivity caused by the lack of viable PPE for Muslim women. They bring that expertise and vision to Mawada and its launch product, the Hygienic Hijab. And for those who don't know, PPE stands for Personal Protective Equipment. With the Hygienic Hijab, Mawada will be able to champion and provide diversity, inclusion, and infection prevention in the hospital's work attire. This will also increase patient satisfaction and create a more welcoming environment for customers and healthcare workers overall.
Obsessed.
I wanted to highlight that so bad because I have taken a few like health disparity classes and social determinants of health and like just interesting topics of healthcare that I'm like, there's so many problems with our healthcare system. And a main one is not seeing like people not seeing themselves represented in healthcare workers and providers. And so this is such an amazing product because our world is so diverse. Healthcare is so big. There's so much diversity, but it's not always honored. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I'm thinking like, so how do they wear their hijabs now when they need PPE? Like, right. But like, that's part of them. So this is amazing. And I've seen them on Instagram. And I'm like, that is what an amazing thing to pioneer so that so many other people feel comfortable being themselves and feeling safe and protected at their job.
And patients too, saying, hey, my nurse looks exactly like me. And it's sanitary, right? Like, it's PPE, and that's so needed.
Yeah.
So this is definitely the start of making healthcare a more diverse and inclusive place for employees and for patients. And as a healthcare worker, that makes me so excited.
Yes.
So definitely a very cool thing.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for highlighting. We're going to take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, BetterHelp.
It's 2023, and it's time to really prioritize our mental health this year. No matter where you are in life, everyone can benefit from therapy. Whether you need to work through trauma or just need a safe person to talk to, BetterHelp is here for you.
BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy service. Get matched with a professional licensed therapist in your state who you can trust.
BetterHelp has options to communicate with your therapist via chat, email, or video, and you can message them at any time to get help.
BetterHelp is giving our listeners 10% off if you sign up using the link in our show notes.
If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, or just need someone to talk to, try BetterHelp today by clicking the link in our show notes or go to betterhelp.com/RTAFpod to get 10% off today.
All right, you guys. So purity culture part two.
Let's get into our trauma again.
Yeah. Let's
Can I divulge. Say one thing before we get into it? Sometimes I don't realize how traumatic that is.
Yeah.
And how much it affects you until like random moments where I'm like, wow.
Yeah. You're like, someone else that didn't grow up this way wouldn't
have. Yeah. I'm like, so that. Normal people feel this way.
Right.
I say that because sometimes I feel like it didn't affect me that much. Or like, I see like people having gone through like being assaulted and like serious things that are life altering. And I'm like, it's not a big deal for me, but then things do affect me sometimes. So it is important to address just in general. There's many people who have gone through this.
Yeah. And I do like that you said that because like for me, after I was assaulted, like that was like very much like, whoa, I had to deal with that in my face. But like, there are like a lot of things that I didn't realize like a few years ago that I like had a hard time with growing up like in that organized religion and in purity culture. And like in this last year, I've had to work through a lot of it in therapy, not just necessarily the purity culture aspect, although that is a lot of it, but just like all of that stuff with like organized religion. And I'm like, wow, I am really realizing how much this does affect me. And I have an exciting announcement. I submitted my resignation paper to the Mormon Church authorities. So I'm waiting to hear back when they like sign my records off or whatever, but I'm really excited.
Yay.
Yeah. I want to have a raging party when that comes.
Okay, I need to do mine so we can have a party.
No, literally. We need to like have a party because it is a big deal. And I was telling Kendrick that. I was like, oh yeah, I submitted my thing. And he was like, that's a really big deal. Like, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, yeah, it is. It's like what you were saying. Like, you don't realize it.
No, because right now sitting here, I have always thought like, I don't need to remove my records. I don't care. Like, I don't go to church. I don't care. Sometimes I still get messages and stuff though. And I'm like, I don't want any part of this.
Mm-hmm. Because when you've been removed from it and then you get a random email that's like, come to this activity or like, come to this church meeting, then it's like triggering. And you don't realize it.
It is. It's so, okay, like for example, we had our pediatric dentistry residency interviews the past couple months. And there were a couple people that were Mormon. And I was like looking at their resumes and seeing like BYU. And I'm just like, you have got to get out of there. Like that is the thought that's in my head because it's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. Cause like, I get it, you know?
I know. I do too.
It's so interesting. And it's hard to like talk with Khalil about it because he doesn't get it. Like some people, if you haven't grown up in it or you've never experienced it, you don't get it. And like he tries, right? He's like, he's understanding, he's sympathetic, but I'm like, no, like you don't understand.
You wouldn't understand unless.
And it's not their fault.
No.
Yeah.
No, but like it genuinely is a cult. Like it's crazy.
It's so insane.
Yeah. So I was kind of, you know, doing some research for this episode, I had to go back to the Mormon website and I was a little scared because I was like, I remember researching for talks. Like, and I hated it. I hated it. But I wanted to like pull some quotes from like the purity culture things that we were like indoctrinated with, because it's really crazy. So we'll talk about it.
So these are, Haley has planned this episode, so I don't know like what she pulled, but these quotes that she's going to reference are from the Mormon church, but we grew up in the Mormon church. So like, that's what we know. And that's what our sexual repression and purity culture comes from. Mm-hmm. But this can be applied to like organized religion in general.
Yeah. And a lot of the, like I was just doing research and like finding people's, like there's so many blogs out there about it. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of them that were just Christian, yeah. like not Mormon. So yeah. there's definitely a lot of people affected by this. But anyways, so as I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, in our first episode, our first purity culture episode, we talked a lot about like the things that we like dealt with. And so go back and listen to that if you haven't. But I wanted to cover these three main things that I think purity culture like really is detrimental to. And the first one, we kind of touched on it, but like sexual abuse and purity culture. Probably should have given a trigger warning.
We're giving it now.
Yeah. But I think, okay, so when you think about growing up in purity culture, when we were growing up, I at least equated virginity to purity.
That's what we were told directly.
Yes. So did you?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes, because it was literally ingrained in you that if you even make out, basically,
passionately,
if you even engage in any type of sexual act, mm-hmm. you're not pure.
Yeah. And so like, think about growing up and that being ingrained in you, and then you get sexually assaulted. So like in my case, because mom and dad were so good about like, if something ever happens to you, it is not your fault. I didn't think like, oh, I'm not pure anymore. But like, I mean, there was some
but
of that.
But there's subliminal messages.
Yes. Like subliminally. Yeah. I did feel that. But like, think about if you are growing up and you're being told your purity is the most important thing as a woman, because I'm sorry, they just don't push it for men.
No, they don't.
And for the boys. No. So growing up being told your virginity and your purity is the most important thing and you need to keep that so sacred, and then having that taken away from you and thinking, okay, I'm not a virgin anymore, even though that's not true, but mm-hmm. I'm not a virgin anymore. So I'm not worthy. I'm like, what do I do? Because my purity is like the most important thing, supposedly, right. you know?
Right.
And so I just like, I wanted to highlight that as the first one, like purity culture, the ties between purity culture and like survivors of sexual abuse. If you grow up thinking that way, you might not ever get out of that thinking mindset or like that path of thinking. But if you do, it makes recovery 10 times harder because you're being told that like you're dirty.
You're basically being told that it's your fault. You have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously not the case at all. Mm-hmm. And it's so detrimental because think about how young girls are being told this. Literally, right. like 5 years old.
Yeah. It's like, do we even know what the, can we even comprehend what that means?
No. You like, you grow up hearing like your purity, you need to stay pure.
Virtuous.
Yes. Cleanliness. But you don't really understand
Mm-mm.
until you get older. Yeah. And then life happens to you and you're like, this is very confusing.
Right. Like all of a sudden, I've never had sex in my life, and then this happens to me, and now I'm thinking, okay, first off, that was a big experience that was taken. Second, now you're thinking, okay, like everything I've been taught growing up, I'm now questioning, like, am I even worthy? I'm not pure anymore. And something that was brought up a lot, and I think we talked about this on the last episode, but like the chewed up gum analogy, the crumpled up rose, so the toxic. Like the ripped up piece of paper, whatever version of it that you hear, like I remember hearing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to fault like the leaders that taught us that, because everyone's just brainwashed, honestly. But like I remember sitting in Young Women's and doing that object lesson and literally learning like crinkle up this wrapper and now try and straighten it out. You see how there's all these creases? It'll never be straight again. And that's what happens if you have sex before marriage.
Like, it's so sad to me because sex is a normal human experience and it's normal mm-hmm. to have those feelings. And it's just sad because you're taking away something that is a normal part of the human experience and should be a pleasurable thing, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah, but when you grow up with like all of these stigmas around it, even if you grow up being told like sex is a beautiful thing, but only when you're married and like God wants it to be pleasurable when you're married. But when you grow up and you're like being told no, 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 then how are you going to find pleasure in it?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you're taking away the essence of that.
Yeah.
And you're focusing on something that is so insignificant.
Yeah.
In the long run. It does not matter. Mm-hmm. Even in the short run, it really doesn't matter.
I mean, obviously, like, you can get STDs. You can get pregnant.
Like, that goes without saying.
That goes without saying. But honestly, like, that's going to run more rampant if you just teach people that they're, like, they need to wait until marriage, because they're not going to do that. And then they're not going to know to use a condom. They're not going to know how to protect themselves. And then that's just going to go crazy.
They're not going to get tested.
Right. Like, there's a lot of things that you don't know. Like, growing up in a household where you didn't have sex until you were married, I didn't know that you should be getting tested between every three partners. Like, I didn't know that. And that can be really dangerous.
I didn't know that you can use coconut oil as lube with a condom.
Yeah.
It's those little things.
I don't know how I knew that. I'm going to be honest. I think it was just like something random on TikTok. It's like those things that you just come across, but that's not how we should be learning them.
No.
We should be talking about it. And religion makes those conversations non-existent because sex is not a safe thing before marriage in religion.
No.
So how can you have safe sex if it's not a safe topic of conversation? So obviously very detrimental to survivors of abuse. And I came across this excerpt from a book of one of the prophets of the Mormon Church. Okay.
You went down a rabbit hole.
I did. But it was this girl, she had written a blog and she said that she had been raped. She was a convert and she had been raped. And so she went to her bishop to go like get help. And especially as a convert, like you're told that the bishop is like the one that is going to protect you. Ugh, this is making me so mad. But so she was raped. She goes to the bishop and he gave her a copy of this book and it's called Miracle of Forgiveness. And then he said something like,
"Oh no.
You know, we can repent," something, whatever. Something like that. But this is what the book says, okay? So he says, "The loss of chastity is far-reaching. Once given or taken or stolen, it can never be regained. It is better to die in defending one's virtue than to live having lost it without a struggle."
I'm literally done recording. Like,
yeah. So this was by Spencer Kimball, and it was written in 1969. So this is like one of the old prophets, but like it's still on their website. Like if it's on your website, you stand by it, you know, and they say in the Mormon Church that whatever the prophets and the apostles say is like modern day scripture.
Yeah.
So that's modern day scripture. And literally the loss of chastity, once it's given, taken, or stolen, it can never be regained. It's better to die defending one's virtue than have lost it without a struggle. So it's literally better.
It's victim blaming.
Yeah. And so as a woman, like just trying to like seek help from an organization that she was told she could go get help from, he gave her that book. Are you kidding me?
It's not okay.
Yeah. So I
like, how are you supposed to take that when you're vulnerable?
Right.
And when you're trying to heal and process this?
Especially at in that time period when it wasn't talked about.
No.
Like, the Me Too movement hadn't gone on. Me Too started in, like, 2017, right?
Yeah.
Like none of that had happened. There was, it wasn't a safe place for women or victims of sexual assault. So, like.
Well, that can be argued. It's really not, so.
No, it's not. In the church, no, it's not. And in the world in general, like,
there's. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, it's not. But, like, imagine then when it was even, like, a less safe place, you know? Like, it's just crazy.
It's so sad to me.
I know.
It's scary, though, because people believe this.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I know. I'm like, that was something a random old man wrote because that was his opinion.
That was not divinely thought.
No.
Or sent.
From.
That was his opinion. And he's using the power that he has
to manipulate people.
To share this scary message.
Yeah. So, kind of, like, jumping off of that point, when you think about, like, growing up in purity culture, everything is just kind of, like, backhandedly blamed on women.
It totally is. I love how you said that.
Right? Because I was thinking about it, and it's always, like, okay, I have this quote from an article.
Can I say one thing? It's always, like, well, how are you going to please your husband?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to make sure that your husband doesn't leave?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
That, and I'm thinking, like, growing up as a teen in the Mormon church and the modesty standards, you can't wear a tank top because it's going to distract the boys. The boys, the amount of freaking times that we were told they can't control themselves.
It's honestly embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm like...
And it's sad for the boys who grow up because that's what they're told. So, of course, they're going to accept that. Oh, I can't control my thoughts. I can't function around a woman who's showing her shoulders or who's wearing shorts,
right,
or a little bit of cleavage because I can't control my thoughts because I'm not a normal person who has a brain.
Right. Like, I'm sorry, but my shoulder showing is not going to give someone a boner. And if it does, you have bigger issues. So, but, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just always, like, backhandedly on women. It's
it
like,
literally is.
Oh, like, the boys can't control themselves because of what you're wearing. Like, how does that it's make like, sense?
No, he's a grown man.
Yeah, like,
he has a brain. He's a human.
He can control himself.
Like, there's women who are also attracted to women who can control themselves. So, check yourself.
Right. No, exactly. So, yeah, I was just like, that is... That's the first kind of, like, tier that I was just like, this is so detrimental.
It is.
In so many ways.
And even that quote that you just read, so backhanded.
Yeah.
So backhanded towards women.
It's better to die in defense of your virtue. I'm sorry. My virtue is not that important. Like, it's...
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
Also, why are you talking about my virtue, 80-year-old man? Like, that's creepy.
Literally.
So, yeah. So many things wrong with that. But... another quote from this article that I was reading that kind of relates to this is, it says, LDS women are expected to be nice, deferential, and accommodating to men's needs, but also are responsible for fending off men's advances. It's a double bind.
Okay, so we can't win here.
Mm-mm. And that was a quote from an LDS family therapist saying, like, this needs to change.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good.
Like, saying good. It's a double bind. Like,
good.
We have to be, like, the perfect Mormon women, but also we have to fend off, like, the men's advances.
Yeah.
Like,
and
what?
It's all true.
It is. It's so true.
That's so damaging.
I know. I know. It is. It is because, like, you think of, like, people who, okay, for example, and I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this, but, like, you look at mom and dad who were in the church for so long, literally having to learn, like, how to make friends out, because when you're in the church, they isolate you. And then if you leave, then no one talks to you anymore. And so, like,
yeah.
Mom and dad are, like, trying to navigate, like, how do I make friends? Like, how do I even do that? Where do I meet people? And it's so sad because, like, that's not fair, but they were just so isolated, you know? And so it's just, I don't know. It's crazy thinking about, like, how it's just not normal, you know?
It's not.
Yeah. So another thing, another, like, tier that purity culture is obviously detrimental to is homosexuality. And I did come out on the podcast, right?
I don't know.
I don't know if I did, but I think I did.
You posted on Instagram.
Yeah. So I, like, the week after Pride in Denver, I came out to my family as bisexual. And, like, my – oh, I thought you were questioning it. I was like, I told you this.
No.
I was like, why are you surprised?
No, I was thinking about your coming out Instagram story, and I was like, slay.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, I'm coming out, right?
You just reposted a post and were like, happy bisexual awareness day to me.
yeah, it was bi visibility week.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, I guess this is my coming out. And then I posted a picture of me at Pride.
I was obsessed with that.
Yeah, so I did come out as bi. And looking back on it, like, it's very interesting seeing how we were raised and how it affected it, everything. But I wanted to read some of these quotes from, like, the Mormon doctrine, because I was, like, laughing reading them, and I was like, it is not that serious.
There's so many other things to worry about.
Like, yeah, so, okay, this is what one of the things says, and this is, like, in the family, a proclamation of the world or something, so, like, it's, like, one of their biggest documents. Like,
everyone has hanging in their house.
Everyone has it in their house, okay? So, oh, wait, this isn't from there, but this is from a talk from one of their prophets. So it says, like other violations of the law of chastity, homosexual behavior is a serious sin. Latter-day prophets have spoken about the dangers of homosexual behavior and about the church's concern for people who may have such inclinations. Gordon B. Hinckley said, people inquire about our position on those who consider themselves so-called gays and lesbians.
What the fuck?
I literally was like, so-called gays and lesbians? Okay, so people who consider themselves so-called gays and lesbians.
He's literally saying, like, it's fake.
No, literally. He said, my response is that we love them as sons and daughters of God. They may have certain inclinations which are powerful and which may be difficult to control. Most people have inclinations of one kind or another at various times. If they do not act upon these inclinations, then they can go forward and do what all other members of the church do. If they violate the law of chastity and the moral standards, then they are subject to the discipline of the church. And I was just
That's
like,
making me so mad.
I literally was like, so-called gays and lesbians, like,
come on.
Come on.
Come on. Like, you're so delusional to think that people aren't gay or lesbian.
Right.
Or bi. Like, wake up.
Yeah, I'm just like,
newsflash, people have always been gay and lesbian.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally. Like, probably cavemen.
Yeah. Because
it's a natural thing for some people. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just crazy, like, thinking about, like, how I came to terms with, like, my bisexuality. And how, like, I never even considered that because that's what was, like, indoctrinated in us.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy how, like, I know I always have been. But looking back on it, like, how my words were like, would be the complete opposite, not like homophobia, but like, just, I was like standing with the church, like, yeah, like marriage is between a man and a woman. Like, and even once I was in my late teens, I never believed that, but you know,
no,
it's just crazy that that's what you hear growing up. And so hearing like people who know that from a much younger age about themselves, like, and growing up and being told that, that's awful. Like, you're literally not welcome. And
no,
you're going not to that place every week.
And you have to shut yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a part of who you are.
Yeah. And like,
sorry. We both have so many thoughts about this.
Well, I was going to say, you hear about so many people going on church missions to try and make themselves straight.
And it's so sad because you're not going to.
No.
Because that's who you are.
Yeah.
It should be celebrated. But what I was going to say was, we hear a lot too, we heard a lot growing up, and like, people in the church hear that if you're gay, then as long as you don't act upon it, then you can still go to the temple, then you're still worthy, then you can still be like an upstanding member. But if you act on it, you're excommunicated, you're done,
mm-hmm.
You're not worthy, can't go to the temple. You're going to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrible because I am convinced there are many, many, many gay men.
Oh, yeah.
Who have married women. Mm-hmm. Because they can't be themselves.
Mm-hmm. And so this is crazy because you cannot tell me this is not so similar to conversion therapy. I'm convinced that the LDS church has a camp somewhere.
Oh, definitely.
But because the teachings are honestly kind of just like that anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when I was at BYU Idaho and I had to take like the family proclamation class, the religion mm-hmm. class, I know it was required. But I remember one of the videos, and I was not in the church anymore at this point. Like, I was just going because that's where my school was.
The school requirements, yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember sitting there and watching this video of the required curriculum, and it was, like, a man who is gay, and he was like, I really, like, struggled with these feelings, and I was able to overcome, and I married a woman, and we have children, and basically they had sex to have kids and that was it.
Right.
So he's like, I'm doing my duty, like multiplying and replenishing the earth. I'm taking care of this woman that I love. Like, no doubt there's love there in a friendship way. But they like had a family, like normal and everything. And he was just like, and like, I'm happy because the church is, you know, like I'm able to still go to the temple and have this salvation. And I'm like, that is not fair. That is not okay.
It's not okay. Literally telling you, you can't be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this poor woman. I mean, she has to know if he's doing
it. Well, no, she does because it was a video. Like, she knew it. It was a situation where, like, her husband had died and she was a widow with children. But like the church was like promoting it, like you can do this too, basically.
And they make it such a negative thing to be gay, to be anything but straight.
Yeah.
It's wrong. You're going to hell. You're done. You're banished.
To be anything but straight and white.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It is. No, it's true. Horrible.
It's so bad.
Because you look at all the leaders, they're all straight white men.
Yep. Yep.
They're all the women, the few women leaders that there are, I'm pretty sure they're all white. Like, yeah. And
there's no diversity. There's no push for inclusion.
Black people didn't even have the priesthood, which is like their biggest thing until this
end. The 80s.
Yeah, the 80s.
The 1980s.
Like, it's
ridiculous, which 19. Literally was 50 years ago.
Yeah. And I also think there was something like they didn't allow interracial marriages in the temple or something.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, I don't doubt that either. But anyways, so that's like purity culture and homosexuality, like, obviously that's detrimental.
It's so bad because the thing that people need to realize about our world, not just the Mormon church, many people,
yeah,
is that everybody is different,
mm-hmm.
and there is not a one-size-fits-all mold.
No.
There are so many different things about life.
And we don't want a one-size-fits-all.
No, that would be so boring.
But
can
that's,
you imagine
that's
that?
How they try and make you in they the
do.
Church.
They do. They make you into that one-size-fits-all.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, if you do this, you're going to be happy and you're going to be with your family forever. Guess what? I already know I'm going to be. That's not – you don't have to convince me of that. That's like their biggest thing.
It is.
There's so many people that convert to the church just because of that teaching.
And they all – yeah, they'll manipulate people to like – converts like who just lost a loved one,
yeah.
like you'll be able to see them again if you just get baptized. Like, yeah, it is horrible. So that's getting into like all the other bad things, but there's one more tier that
oh my gosh, we're so going.
Yeah, this is quick. All right. All there's right. one more tier that this really affects, and this is like modesty.
Guys, we can talk about this for days.
Yes, and this is what I had to read for you, okay? Because if you know, if you grew
scared.
Up then you know about For the Strength of Youth. But if you don't know, then For the Strength of Youth, it was this little booklet that you kept in your scriptures. And everyone got a copy when they turned 12. And it's just like rules for you to follow. Okay?
They call it standards.
Yeah.
But
standards.
It's guilt shaming.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different sections. And so this is what we would read like kind of almost, we would read out of this book weekly because like in Young Women's and stuff.
Yep. And seminary.
Yeah. So this is one of the things.
Hey. And the youth that didn't want to do anything for their talks, but just read.
Read from like the music section. Don't listen to music with swear words.
So when I was 8, I had an experience
where God whispered to me. Also, I'm sorry, but can we talk about the little kids going up to the mic and, quote, bearing their testimonies?
That was so freaking pick me.
It's so like, pick me.
These parents are so delusional.
Right. I'm like, guys. Okay. But so this is like the modesty section in this little booklet that we would read. And so this is modesty for, we cover both men and women, or girls and boys. So it says, immodest clothing is any clothing that is tight, sheer, or revealing in any manner. Young women should avoid short shorts and short skirts that do not cover the stomach. Oh, short shorts and short, okay, whatever.
Tongue twister.
Yeah, that don't cover the stomach and clothing that does not cover the shoulders or is low cut in the front or back. Young men should also maintain modesty in their appearance. I'm not joking.
I hate it.
It's literally
so bad.
I was like, okay, that young men could wear a wife beater. That's tight and sheer.
And that's showing your shoulders.
Yeah, and your nipples because you can see through, okay? And where are you guys coming at them? Literally, it says young men should maintain modesty.
No, they don't care about the guys.
No, they don't.
But they will control the women.
They will.
And they will die on that hill.
They will die on that hill. And it all ties back to purity culture. Because it goes back to, like, the women being distracting and all of that. Like,
I'm so glad you pulled that quote.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
To finish it out for us, I have a funny side note, and this is another quote.
Okay.
And then that's all. But so this is this is the section on dancing.
Oh, okay.
And
wasn't expecting you to go there.
So it says, this is a quote. It says, dancing can be fun and can provide an opportunity to meet new people. However, it too can be misused. When dancing, avoid full body contact with your partner. Do not use positions or moves that are suggestive of sexual or violent behavior or are otherwise inappropriate. Attend only those dances where dress, grooming, lighting, lyrics, music, and entertainment contribute to a wholesome atmosphere where the spirit may be present. And I was like reading that last night, I think, or the night before, and thinking about Halloween.
No, literally, I was just thinking, like, catch me in the club.
Right, I was like, catch me at beer hall with all of the nasty music, and I will be taking shots. Like,
this is healing.
No, it is. Also, like, okay, if there's any leaders out there listening, please just excommunicate me for what I said so I don't have to go through this annoying process. Like, please. I've had sex before marriage. I use marijuana. I drink. Like, please, just excommunicate me.
I listen to music with swear words. I watch rated R movies. I have a cup of coffee.
I drink coffee. Like, I wear a tank top. Please.
Oh,
anyways, I just had to share that because it's just, like, so funny. Like, it's funny thinking, like, that really matters. Really?
Literally. It's all just control.
It is. Yeah, it's actually not funny, but, like, it is, you know?
Well, we can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
So sorry if you're an active Mormon and you made it this far.
Yeah, I don't know how you did.
Wasn't planning to just, like, bash Mormonism.
But honestly...
But it's not okay.
It's not okay. And, like, coming out on the other side of that... We're, like, getting serious again. Coming out on the other side of purity culture, it really is so detrimental, especially when you think about... How many people are homosexual? How many people are victims of sexual abuse? And, like, growing up, being indoctrinated with these things that, like, it's your fault, basically. That's mm-hmm. exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. And so we need to break free from that. So,
right. Know. It's your fault because you were wearing something immodest. It's your fault because how dare you accuse him? He has the priesthood.
It's your fault because how dare you be at his apartment past midnight? How dare you be making out? Or
how dare you be doing normal human things?
Right. Like, it's your fault because we told you all these things you weren't supposed to do, and now look what happened.
And how dare you email us asking for accountability?
Right.
Like...
And how dare you leave this school and not pay tuition anymore? Like, honestly. how dare you leave the church and not pay us tithing?
It's giving me a headache. It's
no, it is. Okay.
I'm so, like, so we're drinking after this.
Yeah. So that's purity culture part two. And if you resonate, which I hope you don't, but there's a lot of people that resonate. Mm-hmm. So just like stay strong, go to therapy, because honestly, like, I don't see how you can come out of that and not go to therapy. Honestly.
Yeah.
Because that's what really helped me.
Yeah. And you're talking about like the sexual abuse.
No, I'm honestly just thinking about like coming out of purity culture.
I know. I have not really gone to therapy for this, but that's what I'm saying too. Like I mentioned in the beginning, like, I don't feel like I need to, but as we're talking about this, I'm like, that is so freaked up. Like,
yeah, you can say it.
Like, it's so messy. It's yeah, so bad, and it affects is so much. I also think that figuring things out on your own before you're in a relationship is also very helpful.
Yeah.
Not that I did that, but looking back, I kind of wish I would have had that opportunity, because like even now in my relationship, my boyfriend is like so understanding mm-hmm. and communicative with me. This sounds like I have a lot of problems with this. I don't, but like, it's like these little things that I'm like, that is normal to people, but it's not to me.
Yeah.
And he like very patient.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying. Cause I think about like the first person I had sex with, and this was like after my assault and I was like trying to get out of the Mormon church. And I think about like, how, since I was never taught about anything other than sex before marriage is bad, like, I didn't really understand, like, I deserve to feel the pleasure. It shouldn't just be 1 minute long and that's it. And then you go to bed. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, it's not a, yeah, all about male pleasure.
Yeah.
And so those are also things that purity culture majorly affects, because we don't talk about how women deserve the pleasure as well growing up. And so, yeah, it's just something that, like, I feel like it can help anyone. Like, therapy will help anyone with it. I kind of circled back there. That's from a good multiple
point.
Points.
No, you found your point.
Thank you. But anyways, so we will conclude this episode. I don't know why I was so formal. But yes, I would highly suggest go to therapy if you are struggling with anything, because you're completely valid. Like, it's a journey. And honestly, like, I just have to get on my soapbox for a second. Like,
go for it.
Women's pleasure is something that is so much harder to achieve versus men's. And especially if you grow up sexually repressed, if you grow up in purity culture, if you're assaulted, I'm like, I have the sexual repression, the pushed down bisexuality, the assaults, like, I've got it all going. But like, I'm telling you guys, going to therapy will help you so much, because you're so valid. Like, in whether it's not being able to open up to someone sexually and, like, you know, do that, because
or you with have yourself.
That or with yourself. Like, there's just so many aspects to it. So just go to therapy, because like, once you experience like a healthy sexual experience that is free of judgment, like, literally, I will just be vulnerable. Like, I felt so safe one of the last times, because we're long distance, one of the last times we had sex, I felt so safe. And I literally was just like so emotional at the end, because I was like, I've never ever felt like I could explore certain things, like I could like have this amount of pleasure. Like, I just had never experienced that pleasure, and I never thought I was deserving of it. And so like, you just go to therapy and like just realize that you are valid, because it's so important for you to have that like sexual empowerment.
No, definitely. I want to share something.
Yes.
This was recent, but, and it's literally, this is like bare minimum, but it's like messages that we got as kids, mm-hmm. where like the male, like, no, when men finish, sex is over.
Yeah.
And like, men will finish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was very serious, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so having sex, and I was like, stop, my legs are tired.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped. And then he was like, I was about to finish. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, it's not a big deal. Like, he wasn't saying it to, like, make me feel bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly
what you're saying. But I was just like, okay.
Yeah, like, where your first response was,
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, tell me next time. He was like, no, I'm not going to. Like,
because you were done.
Exactly.
If historically it's been, and obviously, you know, this is, like, generalized, because there's very good men out there. You know the Julia Fox clip that's going viral right now?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you after, but she's
say it.
Hey, she's on a polygraph.
What?
She's on.
I love her.
Same. She's on a polygraph, and they ask her, do you hate men? And she goes, I hate the patriarchy. There's a lot of good men out there. And then the polygraph person goes, answer the question. And she says, do I hate men? No. And then the interviewer goes to the polygraph person, like, looks, and he says, lie. And she literally goes, ah. It's so funny. But anyways, there's a lot of good men out there. But, like, yeah, like, historically we've known, like, when a man finishes, like, sex is over. But for you, you're tired.
I was like, I'm done.
You're tired, you're done. And, like, you deserve that. Like, that's what a healthy sexual.
Yes. And I have another point, too. I'm sorry. This is such a long episode.
We need this. We need this. We need this more than you guys.
We need this. This is for us. What was I going to say? Also, I can't just say.
I know.
I'm like, that's tying me down. Sex is not just about, like, finishing or having babies. It's like, sometimes it's just the moment of just being together. And that's literally what Khalil said. He was like, I just want to be with you. Like, that's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
It's just about, like, connecting together.
Yeah. No, I never understood that. And that's kind of, I think, why I just, like, had so much emotion after the last time. Because I literally was just like, I've never felt like I love someone this much. And, like, he loves me exactly the same amount right back, if not even more, you know? And, like, he's literally doing everything he can to make me feel good. He doesn't even care about himself.
Exactly.
And, like, I never think that was a thing. I never thought that was possible. I didn't think I was worthy of that. Like, and so now that I am in that, it's just, like, everyone deserves that.
Literally.
You deserve to feel that, like, intimacy and not just have sex to have sex.
Right. Or, like, not feel bad if, like, for example, like, the other person's going down on you and you're like, it's taking forever, I feel bad, stop. And they're like, it's fine, I want to. You know, right. It's like those little things that just feel so validating and you're like, oh my God.
Right. Like, right. Because, like, I would, like, in the past, I would be, like, overthinking it. Like,
exactly.
This is taking me too long. And then you're never going to do, like, you're never going to finish.
No.
And so, yeah, just, like, you deserve that. You deserve to have someone who's going to, like, meet all your needs, make you feel like you deserve everything because you do. And obviously, you know, like, you give that back to your partner. But, like, especially as women, like, we need that aspect of us healed, like, and we need to heal it ourselves.
Right.
You know, like, and I like how you mentioned, like, feeling comfortable with, like, yourself on your own. Like, oh, there's so many
there's
things.
So much. You said we need this more than you guys.
No, literally, we need to do. Okay. Speaking of books, I'm reading Becoming Clitorate, and Kenz is going to listen to it next.
I have it on hold.
Yeah. And we're going to do a episode about it, but we need to have, like, a doctor on about, like, a sexual empowerment episode, you know?
Yes.
Like, for, like, with solo. Like, I'm talking solo.
Yes.
Because Call Her Daddy did one like that, like, 2 years ago, and I was obsessed with it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. I would love that.
Yeah, it was literally, like, how to, like, tips to master the female orgasm.
Because that's so very stigmatized and taboo.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Well, okay, we're finally going to end.
We are.
But be sure to follow us on all our platforms. Submit anything. Like, if you guys have thoughts on this episode and, like, you don't want to just react to the Spotify poll or send us a DM on Instagram, like, submit something to this form that's linked in the show notes. It's a Google form. You can submit anonymously. You do not have to put your name. Send us a freaking paper of your thoughts. Like, we will read it. Okay.
Yeah. Like, if you need to get something off your chest.
Yeah. It's a safe space here.
And we also we really, really, really love hearing from our listeners. And so if you want to submit something to that form, if you want to tell us something that we're doing really well at, maybe leave a review instead of submitting to the form. Mm-hmm.
That would be nice.
Yeah. On Spotify, you can just leave a rating. And on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a little message and a rating. But we would really appreciate that if you guys did that.
Especially if you liked this episode or it helped you in any way.
Mm-hmm. And share with a friend. If you have a girly that also grew up in purity culture, like, forward this.
Guys, let's work through this
together. We all need this.
Yes.
Everyone's like, no, you guys need this.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to end. So.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week.
We'll be back. Bye, guys.